Please turn in the scriptures to 1 John chapter 1, where we will be speaking about God is light. Our text today is just verse 5 of this chapter, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 so that we continue the continuity of what the text is saying. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. As John invites us, the Scripture invites us, the Holy Spirit invites us together today to have confidence and joy in knowing the true God, in knowing that you have the true God, in fact, in knowing that you have eternal life. He takes us now to the heart of this message. Here's the God with whom you have fellowship. Here's what He is and how it matters for your partnership with Him. That's what He's going to go on to teach us. Now, John has chosen here a sweet metaphor for us to consider and to learn of and to see the true nature of God. It's sweet because we all experience light. Light is sweet, Ecclesiastes 11 says. Chapter 11, verse 7. It is pleasant to the eyes to see the sun. So even for someone who has no biblical knowledge or background whatsoever, they can identify with this image of God. Saying that God is light shows that God is desirable. He is beautiful. He is pleasant and warm. But for those of us who do know the Scripture, and John expects his readers to know the Scriptures, he's writing to those who do know the true God. For those of us who do know the Scriptures, when he says God is light, we get much more than a vague intuition of about God. It really becomes a spectacular illumination of who God is. These are like, to say God is light is in some ways like biblical fireworks going off. A spectacular illumination of God's nature. It's better than the fireworks over Boston Harbor on the 4th of July. And this is what John is drawing our attention to and holding up in front of us as we enter into what he wants us to see. So we're going to watch some of those fireworks from the Bible today. And here's why we need to do that. Because everything John is going to say to you in this letter is premised on who God is. That's really the foundation of everything. He is that which was from the beginning. He is ultimate reality. Nothing can go back to anything else but Him. And so if you're going to understand things rightly and see yourselves as well as God rightly, you have to understand who He is. John is writing this letter again to give you joy and confidence in knowing that you have the true God. That has got to be rooted in who God is. And so what we're going to do today is look at the Scripture's use of light and what that tells us about our God. The God with whom we have to do. In some ways, then, this sermon is going to be heavy on information more than on application, but it's going to prepare the way for later application, in fact, that John will make even as he continues on in the very next verses. Nevertheless, lest we rush on to those other verses and not take time to open our eyes to see who our God is, we need to do that unless we will miss so much of what John has to say for us. My desire for you in this sermon is that you would have explosive and vivid views of God. I want His light to shine in your hearts, to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, this God who is light is the true God and eternal life. If you have worldly cataracts dimming the eyes of your heart, then you will not see the glory and the joy to which John is calling you, which God wants you to have from this text. Or, as Jesus put it, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. We have to see, first of all, before we go on. So let's consider a little bit of what the Scripture has to say about light. Not at all an exhaustive view of the Scripture's discussion of light, but at least enough to open our eyes to what the Bible says about God. In the beginning, before the earth was formed and filled, there was darkness over the face of the deep. But in the very first word that God breathed out, what did He say? Let there be light. And there was light. And God separated the light from the darkness. Before there was life or land on earth, God gave light. Light was necessary for life. When God then later moved in His might to deliver His people Israel from bondage in Egypt, the Scripture tells us that He sent a plague of darkness, which smothered all of the Egyptian activity. They had to sit in their houses because it was too dark and they couldn't do anything. They didn't know where they were going. But it was light in the dwellings of all of His people because God was with them. Then when God led them out of Egypt, delivered them with His mighty hand, He went before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Scripture says that He went before them in that fashion to give them light. He lit up their path so they would know where to go. He was the one leading them, lighting their path to bring them to be able to dwell with Him in the promised land. This was what God was doing. And then when God took up residence among His people in the tabernacle, He wanted continual light in His house through the lampstand. And they were to provide the oil by which His light would be burning there continually, showing His presence in their midst. And even then, when God taught Aaron how to bless the people of Israel, there's a marvelous connection in that blessing between God's presence, God's favor, blessing, life, and light. That blessing is, as I'm sure you know, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. You see, God was present with His people in a relationship of covenant love to give life. In other words, there was light. The connection then, even between life and light, is explicit elsewhere in the Scriptures, like in the book of Job, in chapter 3, verse 16, where to see the light means, in that text, to be born and thus to be alive. If you see light, you are living. If you are dead, you are in darkness. You cannot see the light anymore. And so it begins to develop in the Scriptures. And it's when we get to the Psalms that we truly see an explosion of imagery and connections between God and light. In fact, I would invite you to turn there with me this morning as we will walk through, again, not all, but just a sampling of the connections the Psalms make for us with light. As God created light and revealed Himself and His true character through it, we begin to see this come out in the Psalms. In Psalm 4, first of all, Psalm 4 and verse 6, as the psalmist David here cries to God to answer him when he calls unto Him, to be gracious to him when he cries to Him. He says in verse 6, there are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Of course, you can't hear that without doubtless in his heart was that benediction, that Aaronic blessing that God had given to them as he calls to God to lift up the light of your face, the light of your countenance upon us. Show us good, in other words. To have God's face shining on you is to know good, to know joy, to have life. Over in Psalm 18 and verse 28, we find another connection. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. God gives strength, strength even against enemies. He saves humble people. It is God who directs us, provides for us in this life when it is dark. He lights our lamp. And then Psalm 27, verse 1, makes a very direct connection between the Lord and light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This song of trust that David cries out to the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord acts to deliver his people and protect them from death. That's light. That's salvation. Psalm 36, verse 9. Psalm 36, verse 9, which we read in our scripture reading today, says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, do we see light?" Where does life and light come from? It comes from God, who is the source of all light and life. And it is when we are in his light that we begin then to see light. His revelation of himself given to us is what enables us to perceive reality, to perceive truth, to perceive knowledge, and not be left in darkness and confusion and death. Divine illumination opens our eyes to see the overflowing abundance of God, in contrast to the wicked who cannot see that, who cannot perceive that. Psalm 56, verse 13. Psalm 56, verse 13 says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." And Psalm 89, in verse 15, pronounces then a blessing upon the people who walk in the light of the Lord's face. Turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. In this praise hymn to God says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent." God is the one who clothes himself, who covers himself, as it were, with light. It reminds us of what the Apostle Paul said, actually, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, that God dwells in unapproachable light. That's who he is. And since the Lord is light and dwells in light, we then see in the Psalms that he gives light. He is, in other words, he shines out. He is goodness and truth in all his ways, and it overflows and comes out of him, just like the sun's rays come out of the sun. Psalm 37, verse 6 says, "He, God, will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." He's going to bring this out of you and make it evident. That's what he does, because he is light. Psalm 43, verse 3, also associates light and truth here. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling." We sometimes think about trying to find the end of the rainbow. And we joke about that because it doesn't seem possible, right? I mean, rainbows are light. Is it there? Yes, but in what way? Only in a way you can see, not in a way you can touch. or taste or hear. But the psalmist here says, God, you send out your light so that it will actually lead me to you. More like the sun's rays go back to the sun. Psalm 97:11. Another wonderful text here reads this. Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Light going together with joy for those who are righteous. Why? Because God is light and dwells in light. He gives light. You see, when God gives light and He gives joy, like the sun shining in all its strength. This is what our God does. Here's another angle on that same truth from the Psalm. Psalm 119, verse 105, very famously says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." When God speaks, it gives light. It illuminates. It makes what was dark now plain. What was unclear, now clear. Psalm 119:130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." We have here clear truth to guide our steps. The opposite of darkness and confusion. That's what comes from God. God is light, and He gives light. Now to move on quickly here, the prophets in the Old Testament often use the imagery of light. We're going to confine ourselves here just to the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah speaks quite frequently of light, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 5. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5, rejoicing in the coming kingdom of God, the prophet cries out, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us live in according to God's instructions that He has given to us, the light that comes from Him." In Isaiah 5:20, light symbolizes good as opposed to evil. Darkness symbolizes evil. In chapter 5 and verse 20, we read, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who try to confuse God's truth and God's righteousness and God's goodness, calling good evil and evil good." And then we come to Isaiah 9 and verse 2, which I do want you to look at here. As the prophet continues on in this section of the book, sometimes called the Book of Emmanuel, in chapter 9, verse 2, he gives this wonderful prophecy. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." And what is that light? As he goes on to say in verse 6, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." What is light? It is this child coming, establishing his kingdom. This child who is actually not merely a child, but also Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. When he establishes his kingdom with its righteousness and its justice, that will be light. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 actually cites Isaiah 9, 2, as it begins to explain for us the coming of Jesus into the world. But Isaiah continues to connect the Messiah with the coming of God's light. In chapter 42 and verse 6, the Lord gives His servant, He speaks of His servant, pardon me, as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. And back in Jesus' day, when godly Simeon in the temple took that little baby Jesus into his arms, he remembered Isaiah 42. And he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." This is what's coming about. Light is coming into the world. Isaiah 49 and verse 6 makes the same point. God says to his servants, "I will make you as a light for the nations to be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Light, salvation, his servant accomplishing that. In this text, light means salvation. And Paul and Barnabas actually used this exact text when they preached in Antioch of Pisidia to the Gentiles to say, look at what's happening here. Light is coming. Light is shining. God is bringing his salvation to the peoples. Isaiah 51 verse 4 speaks of the Lord's justice as a light to the peoples. In that text, paralleling even righteousness and salvation in 51:5. Now, in 58 verses 8 and 10, this speaks of light coming for those who repent and seek the Lord, while 59:9 says that Israel's wickedness has cut her off from God's light. Therefore, justice is far from us, the text says, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light and behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. And light imagery then in Isaiah comes to its climax in chapter 60. Pardon me. As it says in verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. All nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Almost reminiscent of a little foretaste of this back in the days of Egypt, when God's light shined on his people, but there was darkness among all his enemies. But here, pardon me, the light is connected with the glory of the Lord coming. In fact, the glory of the Lord, it says in verse 2, is the Lord himself arising upon you, and his glory will then be seen upon you. God is light, and he gives light, so that those who are in his light become light, and they shine as lights. God is light. It says, to close this out in here, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19, "The sun in the day of God's kingdom shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended." God is light, and he gives himself as the light of the world, a light which destroys his enemies, but delivers his people. And so the Old Testament has developed a very rich and multicolored vision of God and light. And when we see that light points us, I should say it this way, just to try to summarize what we've looked at so far, we see that light points to God, God's face, God's presence, and therefore to life, to goodness, righteousness, and truth, to understanding, to joy, to salvation, including deliverance, protection, provision, guidance. Light points to justice being enacted, and ultimately the glory of the Lord. All of these things find their consummation in the coming kingdom of God. And so when our hope and our trust have been trained by this Old Testament revelation, then the coming of Jesus is exactly what we are looking for. The true light, which enlightens every man, was coming into the world, John writes in John chapter 1 and verse 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, John chapter 1 verse 4. And when Jesus came, John records him teaching this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Notice Jesus' words there. I am. which he also said in John, identifying himself as the true God of the Old Testament, and I am the light of the world. Therefore, come and walk in my light. In fact, when he gave in the Gospel of John his climactic call for people to turn from their sins and to come to him in chapter 12, before he withdrew to be with his disciples, before his crucifixion, he invites all men to come to his light. He is the light. Believe in him, and you will not walk in darkness. God is light, and Jesus is God. Jesus is God's light revealed to us. If we trust him, and therefore obey him, God is graciously with us to give goodness and righteousness and truth and understanding and joy and salvation and justice and ultimately glory. That's why we preach Jesus. And that's exactly what the Apostle John is doing for us in our text today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have touched with our hands, this is the message that we proclaim to you, that God is light. That's what I'm showing you here. Everything that the Old Testament looks forward to, everything that was brought to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the eternal life, the Word of God, Jesus, is being proclaimed. So when John proclaimed Jesus, he is proclaiming the true nature of God. And the true nature of God is light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul drew a lot of this together in this way. He says, "And even if our gospel, our good news that we're preaching, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is what's happening. God has come to this world in Jesus Christ. He's a saving God. He is light. And so since God is light, and since he shines out as the light of the world, when we come to know God in Jesus Christ, we become light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says the Apostle Paul really focuses a lot of this revelation about light, and he says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." If you are in the Lord, then you become light. God's character becomes yours. God's nature becomes ours. And Paul explains more about that light from three perspectives. Even it's really fit perfectly with everything we've just seen from the Old Testament. In verse 9, as he gives a little aside in that passage, he says, "The fruit of light, what light produces, consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Isn't that exactly what we've seen? What does light produce? Goodness, righteousness, truth. Light shows itself in goodness and righteousness and truth, which is the character of God himself. So the imagery of light in the Bible takes all of these graces and all of these perfections of God and communicates them all together in one package. God is light. In him, there is goodness and life and blessing. God is light. In him there is no cold barrenness, isolated selfishness, ugliness, destruction, death. When John says God is light, we see that our God is all righteousness and holiness and purity. In him there is no sinfulness, lawlessness, corruption, decay, evil, or wickedness at all. When God says to us here in our text that he is light, we see that our God is all truth, absolute knowledge, intelligence, and wisdom. In him, there is no error, no lies, no deception, no ignorance, no confusion at all. There is no darkness in him. This is what the Bible means when it says that God is light. And I want to ask you this today. Is not this the God that you want to have and to hold? John is writing these things to you so that you will have fellowship, so that you can know you have the true God and know that you have eternal life. It's to be in His light. Is this not the God you want to see and the God you want to know? Don't you want to have fellowship with a God like this? You see, in this God, there is no possibility of truth becoming something else tomorrow. You know, today's truth is not tomorrow's truth. Because in Him, He is the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. He's pure light. There is no such thing as shadow in Him. There can be no corruption of the truth in Him due to change. He cannot change. He's pure light. There's no possibility of His love being sullied with sin, with any dimension of His love becoming selfish. No, it shines out. There is no possibility of Him not knowing Himself perfectly, because sin can never pollute His knowledge. There's no possibility of Him, of His holiness becoming compromised, because He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You see, let men dream up any God they can think of. This God will meet and exceed every expectation. You simply cannot come up with anything else better, greater than Him. Which will help to set the stage for why it's so crucial when those who think they know so much go away from Him and His revelation of Himself in Jesus. We just ask ourselves today, if created light is sweet to the eyes, and who among us here has not experienced that? That light really is sweet. How much more is the Maker of all created light beautiful to behold? And that's precisely then the glory that this God holds out for us in the New Jerusalem, His eternal kingdom of light. There is no need for the sun or the moon to shine there, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. There we will worship Him, and there we will see His face. Night will be no more, for the Lord God will be our light, and we will reign forever and ever. Revelation 21 and 22. What I want you to get today is just simply this. This is the God that's being presented to you right now. This is the God that you're coming face to face with, that the Apostle John is proclaiming to you by the power of the Holy Spirit through this written word. Will you open your eyes to see? You can live in His light right now. Will you receive the message? What I want to ask you to do today is to prepare your hearts to receive this God as we go through 1 John. Pray that that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened to know the Father of glory. Because that's why God gave you this letter. Will you do that as we walk through this text together? God is light, and as such, He shines. He is good, He is righteous, He is true. Will you receive His light today?